Good morning, everyone. Good morning again. I hope you are all relaxing, cultivating ease in the body, remembering that's always available. Cultivating is always available. Whether the body actually gets easeful, maybe not completely, you know, in our control, but that intention to soften is always available. We're going to start our morning with our cell phone ceremony, our ritual. And, you know, we use ritual to kind of raise the grain on something or highlight some aspect of what's happening, right? So, say, one of the oldest rituals that human beings have is marriage ceremony, right? So two people get married, and then there's this ritual that we call a wedding that highlights. And what is it highlighting? It's highlighting this coming together of these two lives and this commitment to, depending on the two people, the commitment to something. And it highlights that, yeah? And so we use ritual to highlight something. And this ritual is going to highlight the letting go of that kind of the heart and the mind's attachment to this device, you know? The way that it pings and we go, right? You know that one? It's like, oh. So the ritual of letting go, the physical letting go, manifestation of the heart and the mind's letting go of that connection. And you're welcome to come up and put your phone here, and I'll describe how we're going to do it in a moment. And I'm going to be a little controlling, not too much, a little bit about how we do it. You're also welcome to come up, like maybe, I know some people can't wait, and they're like, they go into the office and just take this thing. And maybe you've already given yours, or maybe you've forgotten yours. You can still come up and, again, ritualistically offer your phone to the basket if you want to be part of the ceremony. Okay? Any questions on up till now? Okay. And the way we're going to do it, we're going to have like two people do it at once, just so it's quicker. And what we're going to do is have the outside person, say, on the first row, peel off, come up, place. The next person, peel off behind them, come up, next person. And then the outside person of the second row, once you see that last person of the first row come up, then you get up, peel off. And then when you're done, you're going to go back to where you sit through the middle. Right, so it's going to be like this, coming from the outside in and then back. Or that's the idea, right? I remember in teacher training, we were getting taught about ritual and how to do ritual. And I remember one thing that Jack Kornfield said, whenever there's ritual, there's chaos. So just plan on it. And part of the ritual will be, if you'd like to, place it in the basket, literally the phone, or if you're doing it just ritualistically, and then perhaps just bow. And what? What are you bowing to? Could be anything. Could be the part of you that has the sense that this would be a good thing to do, the part of you that wants to let go of attachment, etc. So you're not bowing to us. It's like really bowing to that part of yourself. Okay, and then I'll ring the bell as a kind of like, yes. Again, a ritual to support that letting go. Okay? All right. So let's go ahead and start with the outside person on the first row. What are they? The chairs. The people in the chairs. Can you go with the rows that are next to you? So come on in. You can both do it together. You don't have to wait. Great. Place it in. Beautiful. And beautiful. Thank you. And then whoever, if you're going to do it, And you don't have to wait. So like we want it to flow just for time. Great. Thank you. And so second row now, seeing that the first row is started. Thank you. And doing this with as much presence. Thank you. Connecting to your intention. Skillfulness. Giving ourselves this space by letting go of these devices. Okay, so third row over here, come on up. That's it. Now we're rolling. Thank you. And for people who haven't brought it to the office and don't have it with them now, you're welcome to bring it to the office at any time today or any time during the retreat. Done. Letting go. The heart and mind doesn't free through gaining and acquiring. It gets free through letting go. Next rows, come on up. You also might notice what actually is it like to let go of this thing and put it in this basket and walk away. Sometimes letting go can be interesting. Sometimes like jumping into a cool or cold pool, a little bit of a shock, and then next row here on this side, come on up. Folks on this side, our right side, keep coming up if there are more of you. Well done, yogis. Let's just take a moment and bask in our collective skillful intention. Noticing the support of Sangha, group, the community. Okay, well, they're putting their phone in. I guess I can put mine in too, that support. As we mentioned now, we're going to be giving kind of the main instructions for the day. The idea is to carry these instructions throughout the day, including during the walking practice. Jean will talk a bit more about that, but just in general, the instructions you hear for seated meditation are the instructions for walking meditation. The form is different, but the practice remains the same. Okay. Settling into your posture. Which, just like that standing posture, has a base, doesn't it? If you're in a chair, your base is your sit bones and your 2 feet on the floor. It's like a tripod. And if you're on the mat, your base is your sit bones and kind of like your knees, legs, again, this sense of a tripod. And just like in the standing posture, the back rises up from that platform. So what's that like, again, just for the back to rise up? And then again, the seams where the limbs meet the torso, maybe letting the shoulder blades drop down the back just a bit, help to open those seams of where the arms meet the torso. If you're on a mat, your seams where the legs meet the torso, of course, are quite open. And if you're on a chair, again, just maybe experimenting with the slightest shift of kind of weight or contact just to the outsides of the feet. It's getting a sense what that does to the seams where the legs meet the torso. So open. Vipassana meditation, we want to open to life just as it is. And again, the body leading the way. If we want the heart and mind to open, we want to start with the body being open. So the seams are open, and maybe getting a sense that the front of the torso open. Even say the throat. What would that be like for your throat to feel open? And this is all, you know, whatever we say is an invitation, a suggestion. Check this out. You know, experiment with this. And if your own sensibility or experience in the moment tells you otherwise, you want to honor that. Sometimes this sense of opening the front of the body can feel a bit vulnerable. And if you get the sense of that and it's feeling a bit too exposed, then you take care and have the posture be one that feels more cocooned or safe. Yeah, so everything is an invitation, not a demand. So already now we've been bringing our attention to the body, continuing by just feeling now the body in the posture it's in. And what tells you, with your eyes closed, what tells you your body's in the posture that it's in? Because something is knowing it's in this posture, right? You feel sensations. Some sensations here, some there. Other places, no sensations. And this all adds up to this somatic knowing that the body's in this posture. It's an intelligence. Of the body, not of the intellect, of the body. So feeling the body in this posture, then inviting the body to soften, settle. In our meditation practice, it's very helpful that the body be still, or as still as possible. And this stillness, though, is born of settling and relaxation. So you're not holding still. You're relaxing into stillness. Like the way a body of water would naturally become still as the wind stops blowing. Feeling the body as it settles. And again, things settle downwards. And then the attention naturally coming into contact with where the body is connected with the earth below. And folks sitting in a chair, you can just, you know, get a sense that your sit bones are connected to the earth. And noticing what you feel at these contact points where your body's touching the earth, where it's supported by the earth. Feeling the weight of the body pressing down, pressure perhaps, maybe a sense of hardness or softness. There might even be, perhaps be a sense of coolness or warmth that's detectable. Perhaps your attention can perceive even more subtle energies at these touch points. Maybe a sense of like vibrating or tingling. The settling is ongoing. And we don't demand that our bodies settle. We invite them to settle. We give them the time and the space to settle. As we meditate with our attention on the body like this, it's not what we feel particularly, it's that we feel. That we establish this somatic awareness of the body. As we settle, soften, we induce calm, which is good, into the body. But we need it to stay balanced with enough energy so that we don't get too sleepy. And this is where the upright back really helps. This is what gives us the energy, the attention, the alertness. So the posture is both relaxed and alert. So feeling the body contact points with the earth. You can also feel other contact points where parts of the body are in contact with other parts of the body, particularly hands touching. You can bring your attention there and notice what sensations you feel wherever your hands are touching. Again, you're not looking for anything special or particular, just connecting. Aiming the attention and connecting with the somatic experience of the body. Maybe other contact points where your legs might be touching one another, or maybe where your arms are resting on your leg. Contact points tend to be the places where we can most easily feel sensations in the body. So we start there. We can direct our attention like this to specific areas of the body, specific touch points. You can also, if you want to try now, just experiment, you can widen your attention to encompass the whole body. And the instruction would be, feel your whole body all at once. What would that be like? What would your attention awareness have to do? To do that, right? It would widen. Feeling the whole body all at once doesn't mean you have to or are supposed to feel every square inch of it. There'll be places where there's sensation and places where there's not, and that's just fine. The idea is to hold it all with a wide awareness. Whole body sitting. And you can see, right, experiment, which of these two approaches, like aiming the attention at a specific part of the body, like a touch point, or having a wide attention that encompasses the whole body, which one is going to be both most easeful in your, for your kind of your heart and your mind, and which one's going to kind of support the attention staying present. So feel free to experiment, and at different times, one or the other may be, you know, more appropriate for you. Just lastly, I'll offer, you can also move the attention around. You can actually move back and forth to this whole body sitting, then say, hands touching. So the whole body sitting, wide awareness, soft, encompassing the whole body, and then you change it to hands touching. Could be any contact point, sit bones, I'll use hands, hands touching. You aim it at that contact point, be with that for, you can go as fast as you want, could be just a second or two, could be many seconds, back to whole body sitting. So you can go back and forth like that. Sometimes that's helpful if the energy starts to drop. You give the mind just a little bit more to do. You can also move the tension just between contact points, sit bones touching, feet or legs touching, hands touching, back to sit bones, and just kind of cycling through. Again, it's giving the mind a little bit more to do, a little more variety to your experience if that feels like that would be helpful. So let's take a few more minutes now together, practicing quietly, experimenting with these different ways I've offered to be with the body, and seeing kind of which one feels right for you. remembering that relaxation and the cultivation of ease is ongoing. At any time, it's always appropriate during a meditation period to sort of check in with oneself and ask the question, is there any part of my body that would like to soften and relax right now? Thank you, everybody. Thank you for your intention and willingness to connect with the present moment as best you can. You might, you know, be saying to yourself, if you're a bit newer to the practice, what's all this with the body? I was talking with a student yesterday, and they're about 88 now, and they were exclaiming, like, wow, my body is such a teacher, because they, you know, they've had many years of practice and can bring a certain curiosity and interest to the, you know, how much their body is changing and breaking down. And they were just marveling at what a great teacher it was, and also marveling at, and I didn't notice until now. It's only now that I'm starting to see just how much the body can teach me. And so the idea is not to wait till we're that old to actually start to form this relationship with the body and learn from it. Both learn really kind of how things are, and also, though, learn about suffering and happiness and what leads to suffering and what leads to happiness via our relationship, watching and noticing how we relate to the body and what's happening with the body. So tremendous amount of wisdom that can be gleaned from this relationship with the body. It's the main vehicle for the Buddha's cultivation of the Noble Eightfold Path. It's really the main vehicle. Speaking of the body and meditation, so there's sitting meditation, standing, we did this morning, and Jean's going to say some words on walking meditation.
Can you hear me okay? Okay. So walking meditation, maybe the first thing to say about it is it's not the lesser practice. Just as Chaz was saying, it's a support for our practice. And if you think about your daily life, we're probably more in movement than we are, you know, sitting all day, although some of us have sitting jobs, but we're moving when we're washing dishes, when we're going from one room to another, from when we're cleaning, picking up. You know, our body is in movement. So the walking meditation is an extension of the mindfulness practice. It helps with continuity of practice too. So it's not just like, okay, I'm going to sit, now I'm going to meditate, and then get up and kind of lost until I sit again, you know, on the special meditation seat. It's actually, what we're cultivating here is a continuity of practice of mindfulness throughout the day. So the walking meditation is really to support that. So we'd like to ask you to stand if you can. I'm just going to give some basic instructions. Some of you are familiar with it, but you know, it can be helpful to hear it again. And just letting yourself feel into your feet on the floor. Sometimes that's, as Chaz was just saying about his elder student, sometimes it's like, oh, feet, you know. So just notice how you can actually feel the whole foot in contact with the floor or with the earth element. So you can feel the heels, the ball of the feet, and you can even stretch your feet a little bit to, or maybe bend your knees a little and bounce a little bit. So you're actually bringing the attention, you're actually letting yourself be supported by your own skeleton, but also by the earth underneath you. So the other piece about walking is just letting yourself shift your attention. Now shift your weight to the one side. And some of us maybe have different issues with knees or joint issues, so just be careful with your own body. But just for the moment, let yourself feel the weight on one side and then shift back to the middle and shift to the left. So let's do that a couple more times and just feel the different sensations in that shifting. Middle, side. Middle, side. Now slow enough, it feels a little bit like a dance or being on a ship, but actually this is what happens with our bodies when we walk. The weight shifts back and forth. So we begin to notice the different sensations as we engage in walking meditation. So you might wonder about... is it important to walk really slow? Well, sometimes like the mind is very, very active and walking slow might be disorienting actually. So sometimes what we encourage is a three speeds in your walking meditation. You don't have to do it that way, but it can be helpful. So just one of the invitations is to pick a spot. We'll name the different walking places inside and out, where you're going to walk about maybe 30 feet in front of you. So it's not really like, well, I'm going to take a long 2-mile walk. This is, you're just finding a walking path for yourself. And as you get situated in your walking spot, once again, shifting the weight to one side, and then just lifting the other foot, just lifting it and letting it drop in front of you. In other words, taking a step. It's interesting. Different language, isn't it? So as we lift the foot, you can practice in front of you right now. Lifting that foot, dropping it in front, and letting the weight shift. And just notice, it isn't organic. So the weight shifts again on the front. And then lifting, dropping, shifting the weight. Okay, you can come back to your spot. So the primary attention in walking meditation really is with the body. You may be aware of other sensations, including your breath or sounds. Just want to bring your attention, for the most part, to legs and to the sense of shifting, the weight shifting. Legs, feet, sense of contact. So when you found your spot, you can actually, as I was saying, you can start with just a regular pace, like this. And in that regular pace, one of the things that I'm aware of is just the sense of contact, my feet on the floor. So it's just a sense of touch. You don't have to say that to yourself, but sometimes making a little gentle note brings your attention back, because you may notice that mind wanders in sitting meditation. It does in walking meditation too. It doesn't have to be a problem. When we notice it, sometimes we just stop. Collect the attention again on touching, the sense of, so I'm aware of the movement of my legs, a sense of touch. And you might do that pace for 10 minutes or so, or the first third of your walking meditation. And then you can go into like a middle pace. So now there might be more a sense of awareness of the lifting, the dropping. So we begin to get curious about this ever-changing movement and sensation. And again, if you're outside and suddenly you hear a bird or the sky is calling your attention, it's not like it's wrong to, you know, take that in. You know, this is part of our living experience. But it is really different than walking along where you're just kind of looking all around and less aware of the body. You know, what else happens a lot with walking, for myself, I think for most of us, is we just forget. We forget we have a body, back to what Chaz was saying. And our minds are often running. So it's a nice opportunity in walking meditation over and over again. You'll notice that. You know, to say, oh, I'm not doing it right, or terrible walking meditator, is kind of extra. Like, you know, it's almost like a little, like, bug you want to get rid of. It's just what happens. It's just what happens in the mind. So you just want to come back, settle, and begin again. And just the more we can come back, we're actually cultivating the continuity and the power of mindfulness. Often when we're new meditators, the idea is a good meditator, you know, their mind never wanders, they're always focused, like, good luck. I mean, if that's your goal, you're going to be very frustrated with yourself. But if you can see, wow, coming back again. You know, we can only come back again when we're aware of it. So there's nothing to worry about. Just come back again, come back to your body, and complete the next step. One step at a time. So, you know, it might be like, I don't really want to do that. I'm just into sitting meditation. We really encourage you to engage. And this practice really is sitting and walking. Like I said, the continuity is what's going to really build up. It's going to make it easier for you. It's going to make it easier in your practice when you can stay steady with the continuity of sitting and walking. So, and if you have a physical issue that really... your body, it's not good for your body to do a half hour walking or 45 minute walking, then, you know, maybe you're going to do that for 10 minutes or 15. But for most of us, I mean, like, I have an arthritic knee and it gets a little achy, but I can do a walking meditation, you know. So it's kind of know yourself. Like, oh, gee, 10 minutes, my body's really bugging me. I'm going to go take a nap. You know, chances are, if you actually just stay with it, you'll feel more energy from that. So, anything you want to add to that, Jazz?
Just that the walking and sitting, like, look, what is the Buddha doing here? Sitting, right? And that's a powerful message, that's what it's about. Can you imagine if that statue was of the Buddha standing? It would give us a much different, right? We'd have a different message about walking meditation. Well, again, he did both. That happens to be seated posture. But just to say, standing is not less, and to just not let the powerful image of the Buddha seated kind of give us the impression that's the better practice.
You're just reminding me, when I sat with Thich Nhat Hanh for like 3 weeks, 1 year when he was in the States, and it was at a college in Vermont, and he does this walking meditation where everybody follows him, and, you know, there were like young college kids like racing around, and he would just be, you know, and we'd all be following him, and it was, you know, he wasn't flustered or fluttered or judging the youth, you know, he was just continuing his walking practice. So there are different places where you can, if you want to walk inside, there's a walking room. This open room out here is a walking room. Downstairs is a walking meditation room. There's another walking room in the ground floor, basement floor of Karuna, the next building right here. And in, what is it called? Shanti, I always want to call it the annex. It used to be called the annex. In Shanti, there's a walking room at the end of the building. You can go through the porch. That's the best way to go in. Or you can go through the hallway, down the hallway of that, and there's a walking room there. If you're on the ground floor in Shanti, you'll know where it is. It's at the end of the L. But you're welcome to go to any of those rooms. You're welcome to use the dining room, except right before lunch. You want to stay away from those main arteries where the cooks are bringing food out. You can do walking practice there. The caveat in these rooms are that we don't walk perpendicular. We do parallel. So here, because the room is longer, you want to either line up by the windows on either side. And the other thing about walking, if you're walking with others around you, just go at your own pace. This is not about, like, let's match up with someone else. Just go at your own pace. Same thing with the eye contact. You can just look at the floor in front of you or look at the ground in front of you. And just engage in your walking practice. If you want to walk outside, that's fine. You can walk on the driveway here or near the parking lot. That's fine. So just encourage you to engage in that and explore it. And again, you don't need to be focused on your breath. You can just focus on the sensations of the shifting, changing movement. Any questions about that? Yeah. Hang on, I'm going to get up so I can see you. Yes, you can sit down if you want to. What was the question? Yes, thank you. So if you're walking outside, are the instructions the same? Yeah, you can pick a 30-foot spot and walk back and forth. So does this mean that there's something wrong with doing a long walk, like, say, at lunchtime? Not at all. And you might, your body might need that. It might need that exercise. That's fine. I just find when I do long walks, it's very easy for the mind to forget to be mindful of moving. So you have more of a opportunity when you realize you're really not going anywhere. There's really no place to get to. You just have your spot 30 feet away. And then when you come to the end, I didn't say this, but it's really nice when you come to the end to just, we did this ritual this morning, just take your time. You know, like I like to stop at the end, take a moment, feel myself standing. Slowing down is such a gift, isn't it? I can feel it right now just doing that. And, you know, I'm noticing the skyline. It's not like, oh, I can't see anything. And then notice that when you're ready to turn, and you can feel each step when you're ready to turn. So the invitation is to come home to your own being in simple practice of walking. And enjoy that, and we'll see you back at... Oh, you have announcements. Okay. Another question? Yes. Yeah, the person who's ringing the bell will ring the bell out the front door. So, yeah, if you want to be in this vicinity, but usually it's a good gong. And I don't know, there's a little walkway out there, but with the snow, it's a little harder to walk out in the back. So, yeah. Any other questions? Okay. Thank you.
Usually... At the end of this period, there'll be some time just for a couple questions about the instructions. We won't be doing that today just because we don't have time. But there will be time at 2:30. So there's a meditation period at 1:45. At the end of that period, you're welcome to go and do walking meditation, or you're welcome to stay, and we'll have a Q&A period. And then the office just asked me to remind you to, there's just one person in there today. Usually there's two, but someone's not feeling well. So to please adhere to the office hours. They're posted on the door, but they're 9 to 9:45 and 2:30 to 3 is when you're invited to go into the office. Of course, if there's ever an emergency, but in terms of just regular business, that's when they would really prefer that you go in there. Okay, so time for walking meditation period now. And you don't have to wait till you get to where you're going to walk to be aware of your body, right? Standing up, walking out of the hall in a relaxed way. We do not need to get tight in order to feel our bodies. In fact, the more we relax into our bodies and be easeful, the more available they are to be felt. Okay, and then we'll see you back here at 9:45.